We're in this series called Make Room, and this question has been asked of me a lot, and I'm going to answer this question in the next couple weeks. A lot of people have asked this. Hey, did you ever think that this is what Life Community Church would look like? Someone just said to me yesterday, in 8.5 years that life has been happening, is this what you thought it would look like? Like this? And I want to say yes and no to that. Here's what I want to say, and this is very important for us to see. No, I did not think we'd potentially, this is what it would look like. Yes, though, because I believe that when you and I are obedient and we attach our obedience to the promises of God, blessings happen. When you're obedient to what God asks you to do, so when you're reading Matthew chapter 5 and it says Jesus is teaching and then he says, and God blesses what? God blesses those who do. God blesses those who are merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, right? This is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, when you attach your obedience and your level of saying yes to the Lord to what his heartbeat is, there will be blessings that come from it. There will be blessings. That means families will flourish. People will flourish. Growth will happen, right? Families will be restored. Marriages will be restored. Buildings will be built. Churches will grow. All of this is not to say it was built on a man. It was someone being obedient and God saying, this is what I've spoke. Watch me bless it. Okay? This is what's happening. And here's what I want us to see. This is all throughout the Gospels. Matthew 26, 27, 28. Jesus is talking, and he's constantly saying to the disciples this. He's saying, listen, there's going to be a day. I'm going to die. Okay? And when I die, meet me on the mountainside. Meet me there. And it says he says it a couple times. You know why he says it a couple times? Because you and I are stubborn. Anybody stubborn in this room? Where's your honesty? Yes. Yes. The Lord meets you at your honesty. Right? He cannot meet you until we're honest. He says it over and over and over again because in saying it over and over, he's reminding people this is what it's about. And the disciples in hearing it, we get to Matthew 28 and Jesus says things like, hey, go and tell, go and share the gospel, baptizing people, making disciples. He's saying all these things and they're all there to hear it. You know why? Because they obeyed. And because they obeyed, they're now on a mountainside, and Jesus gives them this game plan on how to reach people, how to restore people, how to love people. He gives us this game plan, all because they're available. What are you and I missing out on because we're unavailable? If the disciples aren't on the mountain, they don't hear the words of Jesus. And if they don't hear the words of Jesus, they keep doing what they've always done and they've always been frustrated. If you're in this room and you go, listen, I've tried this, I've done this, and it's like nothing seems to be working. We're making ourselves unavailable to what Jesus is saying. And then we're saying things like, God, where are you? And he's like, I'm on the mountainside. You're not hearing me because you're not here. You're not here. Listen, we got to be available to what God is doing on the earth. And it's super easy to go and complain about it. But God's like, I'm looking for obedience. I'm looking for someone to be obedient. Okay, let's look. Luke chapter 5. This is where I'll spend my moments that the ladies left me. It says, one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper, let down your nets to catch some fish. Master Simon replied, we worked hard all night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time Their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and he said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, those guys, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, there's so many things that I'd like to unpack in this passage. But let me say this. It's not hard to obey when we love the one we obey. See, Jesus said, "This is how I know that you love me. Obey my commands." Jesus is saying, listen, it's not hard to obey. Try this with your teenager. It's not hard for you to obey if you really love me. Let me know how that works. Right? He's saying, listen, here's this moment where a lot of people know Jesus just as a carpenter. We can't mistake that, right? Jesus is now on a shore teaching, and there's a bunch of people there. And the carpenter Jesus, as he's been known the first 30 years of his life, right? Guy that makes furniture. That's what he's known for. Now he's teaching and people are blown away. And not just teaching, now he's healing people. People are being healed. And now it says there's so many people that he's up against a lake and he's about to go in because of the crowd is pressing in. Okay? The crowd just keeps getting full and he's pressing in. Jesus looks at Simon and says, "Hey, can I borrow your boat?" And Simon goes, "Sure." Now, here's what we have to understand. Simon has been fishing all night. He is a master fisherman. He is the boss. He owns the business. He's been fishing all night. How are you after an overnight shift? I mean, some of you are cranky after a day shift. So an overnight shift, we're cranky, right? You've been up all night and he didn't catch anything. Like, let's not mistake that. Like, he caught nothing. He was up all night and he caught nothing, right? Imagine working and you do nothing. You just sat there. Why at night? Well, it's the middle of summer. Of course you fish at night, right? You're fishing at night and now you know the fish are going to be towards the top. You cast the nets out, you find and catch nothing. Okay? So here he is. Jesus says, "Can I borrow your boat?" He says yes. This is very important because the first thing he did was say yes to the Lord. He's doing his thing. He's cleaning his nets. And then as he's speaking, he stops and he says to Simon, "Hey, why don't you take that net and throw it out again?" And he's like, "Listen, Jesus, I know you're a carpenter and I'm the fisherman, but I've done that and I did it all night long when the fish were supposed to be there. Now it's the heat of the day. The fish are at the bottom of the lake. Why would, if you say so, I'll do it." And he does. Listen, it's not that I'm being obedient with what God has me to do when it makes sense. It's how do I be obedient when God asks me to do something and it makes no sense? Again, his word, his promise. When God speaks, you have to take him at his word or you'll never experience the blessing of the obedience. Okay? He does it because this is a pivotal moment, you guys. There's a crowd, and he's asking Peter to do something. It's a test of his trust and will. It's a moment where Peter could say, "I'm the fisherman, you're the woodmaker. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I do? Do you know what I've done all night long? My friends are watching how I'm going to respond in this moment." And his response of obedience is, "This doesn't make sense, but if you say so, I'll do it." And he throws his nets over. And as he throws his nets over, something miraculous happens. Don't miss this. When you're obedient to God's promise, the blessings don't just affect you. He has to call over James and John and the people in business with him and say, get your boat too. It's the best catch of our lives. And it makes no sense. See, for you and I to make room, for you and I to be obedient, it's not always going to make sense. For you and I to attach our lives to the blessings of God, there's going to be moments that you have to be merciful so you one day will receive mercy. There's going to be moments when you have to forgive and it makes no sense, but you're going to receive the blessing of a relationship because of that forgiveness. There's going to be moments where God says, I need you to go here, and if you're looking through the Rolodex or the history of like, well, God, let me dissect this real quick. It doesn't make a, and you don't respond with a, if you say so moment, then you're going to miss out on the blessing. And it's not the fact that God doesn't bless. It's the fact that you and I aren't obedient. See, you and I would rather hang our hats on the fact that God must be against me and God must not like me, or God is punishing me from seventh grade when I did X, and he's going, so this is why he's not blessing me, which is why so-and-so is more blessed than I am. He's like, no, has nothing to do with that. I want to bless you. You just are being disobedient. And there's consequences to disobedience and there's blessing to obedience. I mean, this is, I get it. It's like so difficult, but so like, duh, right? It's like, I get this. If I do A, good things are going to happen. If I do B, ooh, there's a good chance I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to do B anyway. God, where are you? God, you must not like me. God, you are against me. And God's going, no, I am madly in love with you and I want the best for you and my heart is breaking. My heart is breaking. And this is what he's saying. This is sin. This is not my will. Like you and I, we want to hang our hats on, was this God's will? This was not his will. You chose something different. His will is that all men would come to him, that all men will be in heaven. That is not going to always happen. His will is for your family and your marriage to thrive. But in disobedience, in someone being disobedient, it disrupted your family. And now you're going, God, I don't know what to do. And God's going, let's correct the disobedience. What if Peter said no? What if Peter's like, no, you ain't using my boat. I just got done all night. I just put my nets away. I just cleaned them. Why would I get them back out? No. Would you and I agree that Peter misses out on the greatest catch of his life? Yeah. So the question comes, what are you missing out on? Like, what are we missing out on? Not because God is not good, but you and I aren't obedient. I mean, and here's the thing. Salvation, gift. Grace that we talk about, gift. Being obedient, learned. Learned. It's not a gift. You and I have to learn it because from the very beginning of time, when people started talking, we started saying things like, no. Why is no so easy to say? Why is it? Because this is how we were born. We were born to be disobedient. And we have to learn. And it is the Holy Spirit drawing us unto him, softening our hearts for us to be obedient. Now, I have four kids, which usually means, I don't know how you prayed when you had kids, but it was like, God, give them Kelly's height, my infectious, joyous personality, my desire to be on time. I can't keep going, or I'm going to be sleeping another night on the couch. But anyway, I really did last night, but it's not because she wasn't mad at me. It was sickness. But anyway, so, and all of your kids, like you have kids, right? So you, if you have kids, you know, like one kid, there's moments where you're like, how are you, both of you guys from the same people, right? You're like, seriously, who, like, it's like someone, like, I don't know that you're mine, right? I mean, there's those moments, like, I know you're mine, but geez, what is happening right now, right? Well, for us, you had two boys, and then we had a girl. And like Libby, from the moment Libby came into the world, it was like, you're my favorite. I mean, that's what it was. I know we're not supposed to have favorites, right? But it's like, you're my favorite, right? And at 11 months, I remember, I mean, Kelly was there. It's kind of like you needed a witness because you wouldn't believe what I'm about to tell you. But at 11 months, Libby's in our bed and she's being kind of fussy. But Libby kind of fussy was not crying. It was just go to bed, right? And she's in our bed and I looked at her and I was kind of joking, but I said, Libby, go to sleep. She closed her eyes, she rolled over, and she fell asleep. And me and Kelly looked at each other and were like, what just happened? Like, for real, like, what just happened? And then I do a victory lap, right? I'm like, I'm the king of the world. Did you, even the rocks are listening. I mean, it's like, what is happening? This is incredible, right? And then she became a teenager, and I'm like, I suck. You know, it's like, we're in Omaha like a month later. We're living in Omaha, and Libby had a pacifier, and we're in church, and we're sitting in the front row because that's where saved people sit. And you were here because there's no room in the back, weren't you? It's okay. It's okay. Nobody. It's all right. Anyway, so she drops the pacifier, and the lady picks it up and gives it to Libby, and Libby says, thank you. And the lady goes, did she just say thank you? I'm like, yeah, we've been having conversation for months. And because that's just who she was, right? You and I have to learn obedience. And if you're in this room, you're like, I buck authority. I can't stand when someone tells me I'm wrong. If you have a personality in this room, you're like, I have a problem submitting to another person because there's just something inside of me that I'm telling you. This is a learned thing. And it's usually through experience. It's usually through bad experiences. It's usually that you and I, and so for Peter to come to this moment, right? He's the boss. He's the guy who's like, what is happening? I want to go home. For him to come in this moment and to recognize this guy who's now teaching and to recognize the crowd and to recognize what's going on and for him to go, if you say so, even though this makes no sense, even though you're a carpenter, if you say so, I'm going to do it. He would have missed out on the greatest thing that ever happened. All because he said, I think I know better than you. I think I know. You and I have to be men and women that recognize that when I attach my life to the promises of God, when it doesn't make sense, when it doesn't look like it's going to turn out okay, when it doesn't look like this is the best thing, but when I attach to the promises of God in that moment, in that time frame, we experience the blessings of God. And this is the season of life where you and I are living, where we go, I get to experience the blessings of what God has when I attach, right, to the obedience of what God is saying. And you guys, this looks like a lot of different things in this room. In this room, in your family, it may look like this. It may look like this to another family. But when you say yes, this is an Isaiah moment where he looked around and he says, who am I going to send? He says, listen, here I am, God. Send me. It could be this moment where you don't talk yourself out of what God is asking you to do, but you step into and say, God, I trust you. I trust what you want to do. I trust your plan. I give it to you. Even as Pastor Sean was talking, you and I have a really hard time taking the reins and going, here. We have a difficult time. Why? Because our time is precious. Our possessions to us, they are precious. Our bank accounts are precious to us. It's the one area you and I, we get to control this. So for me to let go and be like, okay, God, I'm giving it to you. I met with someone 2 weeks ago who said, listen, we've been talking about foster care, and I felt like the Lord said, hey, you've been saving for this. You've been saving your money for this, putting money aside, sacrificing. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, you need to give that money over here. And they're like, but God, I've been saving. And he said, you know what? All I did was I just said, God, it's not mine, it's yours. He said, it was hard. I wrestled with it. But then the Lord said, I'm asking you to do it. And he said, instantly when I did it, there was peace. He goes, I can't explain that to you. I can't explain why I had peace. I said, I can. There's peace when you and I are obedient. And you know what? Listen. Whatever that looks like for you, that peace, a lot of times I don't get to experience because I do what if obedience. What if I did that? And then I find myself not doing it, right? That's a false sense of peace. Listen, peace, because it's a promise of God, is attached to obedience. Okay? Would you stand with me this morning? Oh, I apologize. It's 1 minute in the afternoon. I think for some of us in this room, our life is busy. And hear me today, I'm not shaming you into that. We're all busy in this room. We all have obligations. But I also think part of what you and I have to do is to say to the Lord, hey, Lord, I'm quieting my life and I'm hearing what you're saying. Like, I'm going to take this moment, and it could be today, it could be later this evening, but you're saying, I'm quieting my life. Well, what does that look like? For me personally, that looks like making sure my phone is off in another room. And then I learned this the hard way, making sure my watch is off as well. Taking this moment where I'm quiet before the Lord. And here's why. I think our culture tends to think that listening is waiting for our turn to talk, whereas listening is saying, here I am, what would you say? I think a lot of us in this room, myself included, I get nervous when it gets quiet. I gotta be super intentional with being in a quiet place because my mind races and I wonder. And this is where doubts and confusion and fear kick in. So my challenge to us as a church is, how am I quieting my soul? How am I quieting my schedule? How am I pausing in the middle of the day going, whoa, 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 it's too distracting? To say, God, here I am. I'm not using words. I'm listening. I'm listening. And I think sometimes, majority of the time, us just saying to the Lord, here I am, I'm listening, is one of the most powerful things that we can say to Him. How are we making room for not just the blessings of God, but the obedience of God? How am I making room to be obedient to the things that God is asking me to do? How am I making my life more of availability and more of a, if you say so, Lord, mentality? How do we do that? So I was just asking, as we sing this song, very appropriate, that we just go to the Lord and just hear what He's saying to us today. God, thank You for who You are and Your love for us. And God, these last couple minutes, before we go our separate ways and watch the Chiefs win, God, and before we do whatever it is that's on our schedule today, God, we quiet our souls today. We quiet the distractions, the noise, the naysayers, the voice inside of us that is not against us. But God, we quiet all of those and say, God, here we are. Would You speak to us? Because God, I don't want to miss being on that mountainside and hearing what You say. God, I don't want to miss the opportunity in front of me to help a person that's in need. God, I don't want to miss an opportunity to restore. Because God, when I attach my obedience to Your promise, I experience the blessings of the Lord. Listen to what I'm about to say to you. And this, you guys, this is not a question of money. In fact, maybe you don't know this, but Jesus spoke more about money than He did anything else. You know why? Because it has our attention. Your money is attached to ultimately what you believe. So this is not about money. But I'm with Pastor Sean in the sense of there's, when you give money to the things that bleed God's heartbeat, I can guarantee you this, you will be blessed. So if you came into this room today and you're like, well, how do I experience the blessing of the Lord? Just be obedient to what he's asking you to do. So God, here we are. We're listening to what it is that you're speaking. In Jesus' name.